Jaymon G, we're on the fly at Vintage today because it's a beautiful Monday, and that's where we always hang out on the first day of AirVenture. And AirVenture 2026 is off to a great start. Ray Johnson is with me. He's the one of the Vintage directors, and he's also your host here at the Vintage in Review and Rose Plaza and everything on the Red Barn side of the flight line. And Ray, you've got some very special airplanes here today and a lot of wind to play with them.
Yes, we do.
Challenging us a little bit here. But we have some beautiful airplanes, and one of them is this beautiful GB replica, the 1934 QED, that Jim Moss from Seattle area in Washington, early on in the 2010 time frame, originally brought it to Oshkosh. I remember, wasn't it green?
2014.
Yeah. That was a different airplane he brought. It was a green, it was a different
Super Solution.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, we're talking to Kelly Mahon, who is the pilot of this GB restoration. And tell us a little bit about some speed. So you had to figure it all out yourself. You know, you were a test pilot, basically, because there is no pilot operating handbook for a 1934 GB replica. So what did you do?
Well, prior to my chance to fly it, two other people had flown it. So, of course, we talked to them and got their input. But this airplane was definitely a new airplane compared to what they flew. And so, no, just had to go out and try it. But the speeds turned out really nice. It can easily cruise 200 knots. And, you know, if we pull it back just a little bit, we've got lots of range at 175 knots. And when we were in the pattern, I'm flying 140 or 150 knots in the pattern. But over the fence, I'm 100 or 105 and touching down somewhere around 88 or 90 knots.
Yeah, it's slower than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, when you say that, when people watch it, everybody is surprised how fast it's landing. I think that because of how small it is compared to other airplanes, like a business jet or something that touches down at 90 knots, it seems a lot faster. But when you're in the airplane, it doesn't seem fast. It just seems very nice for the airplane, and it flies nicely.
Not a lot of clearance on the prop, Kelly. You land it tail low?
Yes, I do a tail low landing, but I am guarded. The stall speed of it is about 83 knots, and so I'm staying away from that as close to the ground as we get. So, no, I'm rolling it on somewhere above 85.
Again, flying cross-country, what do you like to cruise at?
I'm running just right at 200 knots, and at that speed, we've got 2.5 hours of fuel on board. So you can get quite a ways down the road. We could have made it to Oshkosh from Texas in one fuel stop.
Coming in here, you came in here Sunday afternoon, probably the most difficult time with all the visibility. You came into Warbird arrival, and then we were all watching. You did a downwind with a quartering tailwind. Give us a little bit of an idea of what it was like.
Well, number one, you remember that it's a fast airplane. So I used the whole runway and took my time. The handling is very nice. The videos can be seen out there. I touched with the wing down because we had the crosswind. And very delightful. Once it's on the ground, and especially when the tail touches, it tracks straight as an arrow and isn't a problem at all.
That's awesome. Well, gentlemen, thank you for joining us on EA Radio today and our first day of the show. And what a treat to see this airplane. And thank you for the restoration, Doug. And Kelly, thanks for bringing it on here for all of us to enjoy.
That's right. Kelly Mahon and Doug Smith with the 1934 GB QED.
Yes, sir. Awesome, gentlemen. Thank you. And to continue the show, we have Jerry. And Jerry, you're going to pronounce your last name for us.
Barrientos. Jerry Barrientos.
Jerry Barrientos. And where are you from, Jerry?
I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma, right outside of Tulsa.
All right. I used to have a Cessna 195, and I hear that you flew a Cessna 195 here to Oshkosh IFR.
I did. So we actually came in, and we were, I think we were the sixth plane, one of six planes that landed on Thursday.
And yeah, it was a ghost town Thursday.
It was definitely a ghost town, so it was very interesting to come in. I'm not sure how many people can say they flew in on a VOR approach, not an RNAV, but a VOR approach into Oshkosh on the 195, so it's pretty interesting.
Wow, that's actually pretty cool. So tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're here talking to us today.
Well, I'm not sure why Ray asked me, but I appreciate you having
me
here.
Well, start with the background. Your father got you interested, and tell us what you're doing. You're just right now starting a new vintage chapter where you're at. Tell us a little about the field and the influence your father had on you being a pilot today.
So I'm actually a third-generation pilot, and my father, he didn't start our little airport that we live on, but he expanded another 60, 70 acres on the backside of it. So I grew up with, EAA, and they built a Rose parakeet. They built several Rose parakeets when I was growing up, so I've been around aviation and EAA all my life and growing building airplanes, and so actually Charlie Harris is actually from Bartlesville in Tulsa, so you know Charlie Harris has played a big role in my life, going to the biplane fly-ins, Tulsa fly-ins, and,
oh, yeah.
And everything. So it's been a pretty amazing, you don't really know how blessed you are until you grow up and get into this a little deeper. So.
In your stable right now of airplanes, tell us what you're currently flying, including the Rose Parakeet.
Well, we're flying the Rose Parakeet, we have a 56-172, a 57 polished 182. Of course, the 195, which is red. All my planes are red.
Oh, your planes are red. And your shirt, too.
Yeah. And then I have an RB-8 and a 1941 J-4 Cub.
Oh, very cool. Wow.
And then the N number and 1,000 pounds of metal for the T-32 Curtis Condor.
Yeah, let's talk about that. You guys are, you're building one, right?
Yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit about that project. What is it, actually?
Well, it's funny you ask. So you see this little flagship, this little airplane behind us, the flagship Detroit, American Airlines flagship Detroit?
Yeah.
It's the size of that, and it looks very similar to that, but it's a biplane and fabric covered.
Wow.
So I was sitting here at Oshkosh a couple of years ago, and I had a dream underneath, sleeping in my tent underneath the airplane saying, with this dream that my dad would always pick up everyone and go to, Oshkosh or take them out to dinner and everything. And I grew up with an aero commander, and so my dad had like 9 airplanes. So he would bring everyone to Oshkosh, and I had this dream that we loaded up all of our airport family and came to Oshkosh. But instead of sleeping in tents, we were sleeping in this airplane with these fold-down beds. And then I woke up, and I was like, okay, I think I'm supposed to be, I think God's calling me to build an airplane. And I told my friend, I didn't tell him anything about my dream at all. I said, hey, I think it's time to build an airplane. I want a tailwheel, fabric-covered biplane, but I want something so unique that no one else has it. Like, it has to be, if I'm going to go in, I'm going to go in all in and go big or go home. And so he said, well, have you ever looked at a T-32 Curtis Condor? And I said, what in the world's that? And the first picture I pulled up was the sleeper plane, the American Airlines sleeper plane. I was like, oh, my God, that's the exact airplane that was in my dream.
Wow.
And so it's now kind of crazy.
Now, that's a
And you have a website,
story.
Don't you, that about the airplane?
Or yes, it's Facebook? Pretty basic, but we're doing a full documentary around it. And so it's going to be a pretty interesting project. But my friend had mentioned, he's like, well, if you don't have any plans, then you don't have any, no plans, no airplane. And I said, well, if I'm supposed to really build this airplane, then they'll just magically appear. And I don't know if you know Paul Merritt, but he has some a whole book of 2-page plans. I got it. I was so excited, took it to my friend. I was like, look, I got the plans. He's like, that's only 2 pages. I was like, ooh, maybe we need a little more than that. So like, okay, if I'm really supposed to build this airplane, it'll show up. And they happen to show up with 10 years worth of research on Barnstormers one day. So
wow, that's
I called the guy and told him I'd be there on Thursday to pick it up.
No kidding. That's amazing. So. Wow.
Well, Jerry, besides all the other flying activities you're doing, you're also a racing pilot.
Yes.
Tell us about, you just came off of a race. Tell us about the racing you do, the different classes, and how that all works.
Thank you. Right?
For the ladies. It's for the ladies. A ladies racing pilot.
So the Air Race Classic dates back to the 1929 Air Powder Puff Derby. So this year there's over 100 racers, 46 teams. This is my fourth or fifth year of doing the Air Race Classic with all the women. And it's just an amazing camaraderie of people. It's like a big family. And we have, I think out of 46 teams, we had only 22 that finished because of weather this year. So every year there's a different route. It's over 2,700 miles across the country, and there's always something to learn. And
are you on the committee that plans it?
No, but I help a little bit with the route planning, but not really. I haven't really gotten that involved yet. I'm on the Tulsa Air and Space Museum executive board, and also the ODAA, the Oklahoma Department of Aeronautics and Aviation. I'm on their foundation, so I'm pretty involved with a lot of nonprofits.
Okay.
Already.
Well, just tell us about your recent race. Your very recent.
Well, so the most recent race we had, there were 11 or 10 legs, and we got to finish 6 of the 10 legs because of weather. So we end up driving through a tornado. I was like, thankfully I'm in a car instead of an airplane.
Ooh, yeah.
So that was pretty fun. But we, this is my second year in a race. My race partner and I, we flew with absolutely no penalties. And our last race, we won the Turtle Award because we ended up having to sit down because weather moved in. So we got the Turtle Award because we had zero penalties, and maybe 1 to 3 teams get that every single year. So it's very hard to think it accomplished, but it was a great race.
That's fantastic. So, well, congratulations, and I'm sure we'll hear more about your Curtis Condor project as it comes together.
Absolutely.
Right here at Vintage in the years
to
come.
Well, we can't wait till they get it finished, her team, and she's heading that team. It'll go right up front, Jerry.
That's right.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks for joining us today on EA Radio. And look, you brought some nice weather with you.
Thank you. And I would like to mention we have our newest Vintage Aviation. We're technically a provisional chapter this time, and we're just waiting to talk to Susan to confirm that we can name it the Vintage Aviation Chapter 10, the Charlie Harris Foundation. The
wow,
Charlie Harris,
that's great.
Jerry,
chapter,
one so. Quick minute. We got a few seconds.
We'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll ask her that question.
Okay.
J-Mon-G, we're on the fly. We're at Vintage. We got more show to go, so don't go away. You're listening to EA Radio.